Hey, good morning. Good to see you. It is great to be back. In case you are a guest, my name is Ken Roberts, and the senior pastor here at Church of the Open Door is on sabbatical, and he'll be back in early September. And so they've asked me to be kind of part of the speaking team here, so I've had the chance for all the month of June to be here with you. And I just want to say to you, it's really been an honor. It's been a joy. I love being here with you, and you've been very responsive. You've been very encouraging. Even this morning as I walked around and kind of said hello to a few folks, you were affirming and appreciative, so I do appreciate that and would like to have had a chance to meet some of the folks in the other campus as well, Avon Lake and Vermilion, but really, really just delighted to be here. We've been in a series, and we're going to continue this series from June and July. Actually, today will be my last day. And I'll be back in August, and we're going to start a new series called Making Life Work. Making Life Work. But John, one of the campus pastors, will be speaking the next couple weeks, and he's already got one really lined up and ready to go. He's going to hit it out of the ballpark, you know. So be here next Sunday, and the week after that, and the week after that is going to be great. But we're going to continue to talk about Live It Out. And here's kind of where we've been on this series. I took the first 2 weeks to kind of build the scaffolding regarding what does it really mean to live it out as people of faith? The Bible teaches that the righteous shall live by faith. So you and I, we are on this journey of faith, and we went back for 2 weeks and looked at Genesis chapter 12, and we looked at Abraham, and we kind of asked two different questions. So one question, what does it mean to live by faith, to continue to move on this journey? And then the second question was really, what is faith? So we kind of laid that out because we are people who are on this journey. We're trying to live it out. We're trying to live this life of faith, but what does that look like? And then last week, I kind of shifted gears, and I talked about that to live it out. First of all, we have to learn how to live it out in our own life. What does it mean as a follower of Jesus Christ to take the gospel, to take what he's doing in our life, what he's done in our life, to live it out in our own life so that as we're living it out there, which we need to be, you know, in the workforce and with our colleagues and with our neighbors and et cetera, but what's happening in our own life, how are we living it out? Here's why that's so important. Is because that the more that there's authentic life of Jesus in our life, the greater authenticity and authority we have as we're trying to live it out there. So it's first and foremost to say, Jesus, who am I becoming? How do I live this life out in my own life so I can live it out there as well? If you'll turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and you do have an outline, and if you'll take that outline, I think you'll need that today. It's a kind of an involved outline, but it's not as complicated maybe as it looks. And I want to continue kind of on where I was at last week and really talking about living it out or how to do this thing in our own life. And one of the things that you'll see that's tied to our lead-in video is the idea of learning to practice. The ballet dancer, the skateboard guy, the guy on the skateboard, the basketball player. How do we learn to live this thing out? And one of the premises I would give to you and would encourage you is one of the ways we live it out, which I think we've kind of somehow missed in the evangelical church, is actually learning how to practice these things. So if you'll turn to Colossians chapter 3, and if you'll stand with me for the reading of the word in all three campuses, and if you don't have your Bible or your app, you'll find the words here. And this lays a foundation. It's throughout Ephesians, Colossians, Romans, there's many different places where the whole principle that I'm going to try to teach you today comes from. But Colossians chapter 3 is a good place to see that. So for chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said this, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, that is our new life. As a result of that, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Why would we do this? "For you died, that is our old life, our old man, and your new life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ," I love this little phrase, "when Christ, who is your life," so he is now our life, the life we have in Christ, "appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." So he's going to establish again who we are in Christ. But as a result of that, then he's going to encourage us to live it out. This is our identity we have in Christ. So he doesn't ask us to do something that we don't have. But he says, now because you have this new life, then I'm going to encourage you to practice this, to learn how to live it out, learn how to live out your faith. And here's what he says, verse 5. So he says, "Therefore, as a result, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature," that's your old way of life, Things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. That's what you practice in your old way of life. That's how you lived it out in your old way of life. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Things like anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self, your old way of life, with its practices, there's the idea again, and you have now put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Thank you for reading the word with me. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question. If we were to take a survey in this church and in many evangelical churches across the United States and ask the question, what's God's number one goal for us? What would our answer be? If a survey and we ask, what is God's number one goal for us? What would our answer be? For some people, our answer may be that God wants us to be happy, that God wants us to be fulfilled, that God wants us to live a blessed and abundant life, that God wants us to have a great marriage, that God wants to help us with a great family, that God wants to have us to have favor in our job, that God wants to have us to have physical health. And the truth would be that all of those, to some degree, are a result or a benefit of following Jesus Christ. But what the Bible would teach us is God's number one goal for us as we're on the earth trying to live it out would for us to be more and more conformed or shaped or become more and more like Jesus Christ. You can see that in Romans chapter 8. He uses all things to shape us, to conform us into the image, into the likeness of his Son. You can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, where Paul talks about like Moses, he was going from faith to faith or glory to glory, that you and I also on our journey are supposed to be changed more and more into the image or into the nature of Jesus Christ. You actually see it in Paul's ministry in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul said this way, he said, I labor like a woman in childbirth. I labor until Christ is formed in you. So our ultimate goal is, God, as we live this life out, as we live our Christian faith out, that you and I become looking more like Jesus Christ. Now, I know for many of us, it seems like that bar is so high. Is that really his objective for us? And yet I think the Bible would say that it is. One of the reasons that I so appreciate Church of the Open Door and so identify with this local congregation and really so identify with your pastor, Jim, is because that's actually the emphasis that you have as a spiritual congregation. And I could just say to you as I kind of travel the country that many churches, that is not their ultimate goal. They're not necessarily helping people come into more of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the goal is to become over time more and more like Jesus. Matter of fact, your mission statement is this, is to leading people in the adventure of becoming like Christ. So that's your objective as a church, which I love because I think it's central to the gospel and I think it's central to living it out. But now let me ask you a question. How do we do it? That's a big one. How do we do it? Now, growing up in the church for me, that was always a frustration. Many of you have heard my story. My dad was a pastor and I came to Jesus Christ at the age of 7, so I've been on this journey for a long time. But it always bothered me growing up in church when I was exhorted or preached at or told to or encouraged to do certain things, but I was never taught how to do that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. But I was actually never taught how to do it. It was actually a frustration point in my own life. But for me, I would say this thing about how to become like Jesus Christ has been a central pursuit in my own life for the last 20 years. I've been asking myself this question. If God called us to this, to be transformed more and more to the image of his Son, how do we actually do this? And how do we actually do it in a very practical way? This is not a 7-step formula. There's mystery involved in this journey that we have. But what I have found is it's not as complicated as we've oftentimes made it in the church. I didn't say it was easy. It is kind of sometimes difficult. We have to work. But there is a way that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. So if you would take your outline, let me try to help you with that and give you a very practical message over the next 20, 30 minutes and talk to you about the golden triangle of transformation. The golden triangle of transformation. Now, whether you've just started on this journey or you've been a follower of Jesus Christ for many, many years, I believe that there is a way, not seven steps to success, but there's a template that the Bible gives us as we kind of exegete the Bible that gives us, that shows us how to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Let me try to give those to you. And the first one, if you want to fill this in, is the nature of Christ. And this really is our goal. This is the aspect of our nature of Christ. That when Jesus Christ comes to us, when we are converted, that his nature comes into us. And the idea is that the nature of Christ over time grows more and more in our life. Now, I just had a niece who had a child on Wednesday, a little girl. So the little girl is, what, 4 or 5 years old. And the thing about that little child is she is fully human. She'll never be more human than she is now that she's born, but she isn't fully developed. She isn't fully developed. And that's the idea of us coming into Christ, that we are now a new creature in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we are fully developed. So our desire and our responsibility is to learn how to more fully develop in Christ so his nature continues to grow in our life year after year and day after day and month after month so we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I love about the gospel. God doesn't ask us to do something, become more like Jesus Christ, and not give us the tools to do that or become that person. So what he does, he says, I want you to become more like me. So when we are born again, his very nature is now in our life. 1 John says it this way. 1 John, I think it's in chapter 3, says it this way, that the seed of God is now in us. So that we're that new creation. We're not fully developed yet, but that new creation is now in us. So he tells us to do something. Then he gives us the divine nature, not the old man, not the old Ken Roberts, I'm dyed to that, but the new man that is now in me so that I can become more and more like Jesus Christ as I travel upon this earth. Now there's a big difference between forgiveness and understanding the divine nature that God's given us. Let me try to give you an illustration. If a criminal goes to court and he or she is acquitted of their sins because of a technicality or whatever, and they're forgiven, they're wiped clean of that sin, if their nature isn't changed and they go back out and they're a criminal, guess what will happen? They'll show up in court again. They'll do crime again. So God, in salvation, he forgives us of our sin. We're acquitted of our sin. We're no longer under the condemnation of our sin, but now he gives us a new nature so that you and I can become more and more like Jesus Christ. So the first aspect of this golden triangle is in the middle, that we want to grow in the nature of Christ, become more and more like Jesus Christ. How does he help us to do that? He gives us 4 or 5 tools that I want to try to give you in this golden triangle. And the first one, he gives us the Spirit. Now again, I love this about God. He doesn't simply say, now what I want you to do is do behavioral modification. Try as hard as you can to change, to not do these things and to do these things. But what he gives us a new nature, but not only a new nature, he now gives us the Spirit of God that lives within us. I told you last week that one of the words for Holy Spirit is paraclete, which means the one who is called to come alongside us. So we now live by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is not simply my will that I'm trying not to sin. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings me illumination of the word, that convicts me of my sin, that empowers me to overcome temptation, you know, that enables me to walk this new life. So I now have the Holy Spirit that is in me as I'm trying to walk out this new nature that I have in Jesus Christ. Let me just ask you a question. Over time, would you say that you are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? Are there areas in your life that you're asking by the power of the Holy Spirit that you become more and more like Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, etc. Where you would say, I just don't want to become religious and go to church and assume that I'm changing, assume that I'm living it out, but I'm actually becoming more and more like him. Let me give you the second one. And the second one that he does then is he gives us the word. He gives us the word. So he gives us the Spirit that gives us the power to do this, but then he gives us the word of God. Now here's what's amazing about this principle that God does is that anybody in human development, anybody in change, anybody in transformation would tell you this, that all change starts in the mind. Now, with a believer, it starts in our hearts. We are given a new nature. But then after we are given the new nature, the way that I grow into that new nature is all transformation starts in our mind. We can see it in Colossians 3 that we just read, where it says, because you're now a new person, set your mind upon things above. We see it in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Many of you would know this scripture. Be not conformed, shaped by this world, but be changed, transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. One of the ways that we grow in this is by our new operation system in our mind. We begin to think, meditate, memorize on the Word of God. And as we do this, then it feeds our new nature so that we're able to walk into our new nature as a new man. Now listen, neurologists today know this. The change starts in our mind. Nutritionists know this. The change starts in the mind. Your eating habit starts in your mind. Physicians know this, that much of our health comes from how we think, what's in our mind. And psychiatrists or psychologists know this as well, that they know that change begins in our mind. And most believers, Jesus Christ said the same thing. It's his universal principle. If you want to change and become more like Jesus Christ, there has to be a transformation that occurs in your mind. Now, here's what I find in my own life, and I find as I've pastored for many, many years, is that many people, they desire to change because they have the new nature. If you've been born again, you desire to become more and more like Jesus Christ. There's a desire in you not to do what you used to do, not to do the bad things or the evil things, not to live that way of life, not to practice those things. So our desire changed because our nature changed, but many people I find they have the struggle. They want to do the new things of Jesus Christ in their life. They want to move in the fruit of the Spirit. They want to be more like Christ. Yet they find that they're pulled in their old way. So they have the conflict. I want to do this, but I'm pulled this way. I really want to become more like Jesus, but I don't seem like I'm becoming this way. And if you drill down what you will find, there are a couple different things that keeps people from becoming more and more like Christ. And one of them is they're not renewing their mind. They're not putting the Word of God, memorizing and meditating the Word of God, so that their new operating system can respond to the nature of Christ. Now, I just did my hand like that, and my mind triggered that. It was just a respond to what's in my mind, and that's the same way as the nature of Christ. The more that I put God's Word in my mind, memorize and meditate on the Word of God, then my more natural response will be the ways of Christ. So you can't live it out and grow more and more into Jesus Christ without actually memorizing and meditating upon the Word of God. I felt this morning in preparation, I wanted to hit this just a little bit harder. I did this last week. If you want to hear, you may want to listen to the teaching on the website. But in my life right now, trying to become more and more like Jesus Christ and to live it out in my own life, really after 53 years of doing this, I'm kind of back to old school. And what is old school with me is I'm taking a notebook and simply I'm taking things that God, that I want to renew in my mind, and I'm simply writing those scriptures down. That's how important it is to me. So right now, for example, this morning, here's what I reflected on this morning before I came here. I took this out, and I've got about five or six different topics that I'm reflecting on right now. And this one this morning was the topic of rest. So I wanted to live and rest. I wanted to be here and rest. I wanted to try to teach you and be with you today in the concept of just me living out of rest. So I simply went to that book and I opened it up and I've got all these scriptures about rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love the one translation where this says, keep company with me, with Jesus, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Here's another scripture that's in there. Exodus 33:14 says this, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So one of the things I asked this morning, I said, Lord, I want to live out of rest today, so I'm asking for your presence to be with me today, all day today. I want to live out of rest, so I'm asking your presence to be with me today. Here's another one. Psalms 91:1 says, I will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, what's my point? My point is, if I want to grow in the area of rest in my own life, not deal with anxiety, not deal with fear, not deal with worry, One of the ways that I do that is I do that by transforming my mind by the Word of God, which then connects to the Holy Spirit that's in my life and the new nature, so that as I'm living it out, I'm more and more living it out in that dimension of my life as well. Let me give you the third one. The third one is application in everyday life. And I would say this is where we're really trying to press it in this series on Live It Out. Because you're well taught here. Pastor Jim's a great teacher. You're well taught here. So a lot of the concepts about our identity in Christ that we've been looking at, the importance of the Spirit of God. Jim wrote a book called Learn to Breathe, which is really what it talks about. That we live this transformed life as we learn to connect with the Holy Spirit. You're taught on the Word of God. So many of you understand the Word of God. But let me just say one thing about the Word of God. The Bible isn't only given to us as a doctrinal book. It's not simply to study so we can know more about the theology of God, which we need to know that. We need to know theology. We need to be very clear on that. But transformation, learning to live it out, change in our life happens as we actually apply it. James says, don't simply be hearers, but be doers of the Word of God. Now, let me just say something to you. Do you know for most of us, our transformation will not happen in this meeting? Matter of fact, surveys show that only about 10% change in a believer's life happens sitting in a congregation like this. We worship, so we engage with God, our spirit with God. We're reminded of grace or the story or, you know, the Christian story by our worship. We hear the Word of God so that we are taught. But our change and our transformation happens as we live it out. Matter of fact, they would tell you that all change comes by these two things. Instruction. So you have to have understanding. Instruction plus application equals transformation. Again, that's why we had the video lead that we've had. It's been by the practice of these people that you see, the ballet dancer, the guy on the skateboard, the basketball player. It's by the practice that happens that brings them actually into greater transformation, learning how to live it out. I said, I think in one of the earlier teachings, the one of the things that we've fallen into in the church and the evangelical in the West is that the church has become more of an educational model. We're learning about truth. It's become more of an educational model than a transformational model. And the only way that we can actually be transformed is by living it out. So the third thing that happens, new nature, Holy Spirit, Word of God, but is in the application in our everyday life. The application in our everyday life. This principle really came home to me about 13, 14 years ago, and I'll read you just a little bit about it from a little book I wrote many years ago. But I was trying to figure this thing out regarding how do I become more and more like Jesus. I've gone to church all of my life. I know the Word of God fairly well. I've taught and I've pastored for 33 years. But about 20 years ago, I became on this journey. How, in a very practical way, can I become more and more like Jesus Christ, and how can I help others kind of walk into this? So it's not just a good idea, and we're trying, and we're going to church and listening, and we're praying, and we're worshiping, but how can I really become more and more like Jesus Christ? And this whole truth really became reality in my life about 13 years ago. And many of you are aware that my late wife was killed in a car accident. And I knew, somehow I knew during that time. I don't know how I knew. God's grace, I knew. I guess by God's grace, I knew. But I knew that during that season of my life would be the greatest opportunity for me to be shaped in the image of his son than I'd ever experienced. Somehow up front, I knew that tragedy in my life, that if I would embrace it, God would use it in my life so that I would become more and more shaped in the image of his son. So for those many years, as I was a widower and as I kind of transitioned through that, that became my goal. I said, God, how can I, during this season of my life, how can I become more and more like you? And I want to read from you from a little book that I wrote about this journey, about how that happened to me. Here's what I said. I want to read it just because a lot of time was put into writing, and I think it'll be clearer for you hearing it this way. Here's what I said. I clearly remember the morning this principle, how will I respond to things in life, took root in my own life. A few days after my wife's passing, I was making my bed when right in the middle of tucking in the sheets, my anger surged. A voice in my head screamed, I'm a 47-year-old man starting life all over, making my king-size bed alone. I hate this. This isn't fair. As I straightened the sheets, arranged the comforter, and fluffed the pillows, the irrepressible thoughts continued and the anger intensified. Here it is. Then, like a loose cog clicking into place, it became crystal clear. How I respond, even in these moments of seemingly ordinary activities making my bed, will determine who I become. The point I'm making is we live it out by practicing in our everyday life, and as we practice it, we become more and more like Jesus. How I respond, even in these moments of seemingly ordinary activities, will determine who I become. Listen to this. That simple thought was revolutionary. As I made my bed the following weeks, instead of occasions for anger and resentment, those domestic chores became opportunities to practice servanthood and humility, patience and peace, contentment and gratitude. This new approach, thing that came to my mind, how I respond determines who I will become. This new approach wasn't limited to making my bed, but extending to shopping at the grocery store. I still remember that. I was not the shopper at home. My wife was. You know, I remember going to Heinen's over in West Park, going to Heinen's and, you know, Rocky River, and kind of going down the aisle, and where's this, and where's the ketchup, and where's the buns, and, you know, where's the pancakes, and I had no idea. But what I remembered in my mind, that could either be a time that it would provoke more frustration and the old man of anger and resentment, or it could be a time where God would use responding in everyday activity to shape me more and more into the image of his son. This new approach wasn't limited to making my bed, but extended to shopping at the grocery store, washing dishes, paying the bills, and doing laundry. When the little old lady ahead of me in the express checkout line chatted with the cashier about her latest doctor's visit, a recent trip to the casino, and updates on all 29 grandchildren, would I be pleasant and patient or rude and annoyed? That's where transformation happens. Practicing in the everyday parts of life. It's not here. Now, again, we're taught, we're connected with the Word, we're connected with spiritual community, we're engaged spiritually with worship, but our transformation happens as we apply the Word of God, as we apply those things in our life. That's how we become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's how we live it out so that he's living in us in a greater way, and the authenticity of a Christian life is seen. Or here's another way. After hitting the golf ball off the same tee into the same woods for the third time, I've done that, would I be irate or graciously accept my golfing limitations? When the driver behind me honked within a nanosecond of the red light turning green, how would I respond? In brackets, I still have some work to do in this area. Here's my point. Here's the way the paragraph is summed up. All of my daily activities became sacred moments for meaningful formation. Application. Somehow we miss this in the church. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to be an apprentice, a student and an apprentice. It's to watch what the master is doing, to learn from the master, and then to do like the master does. That's how transformation occurs. It doesn't simply come by knowledge, by listening, by hearing, by feeling. It actually comes by doing. During that season of my life, same season of my life, God gave me another thought, another idea. I don't know how it came to me. I think it was the Holy Spirit. And for over a year, I had a spike in my pocket. It was a little spike, like a nail spike, and I would put it in on my dresser by my bed at night. Every morning when I got up, I would put it in my pocket. Every morning when I got up, I would put it in my pocket. Here I'm a 47-year-old man, now a widower, a lot of pressure on my life, leading a church. I'm feeling temptation and grief and anxiety and fear and all those other things in my life, and I would put that spike in my pocket. And every morning I would go out, and when I go out and do my daily routine, whatever it was, when I had the opportunity either to respond to the old man, old Ken Roberts, when I wanted to become angry, when I wanted to look at temptation the second or third, given to temptation the second or third time, when I wanted to react, when I wanted to, what it would be, live out of fear, I would put my hand in my pocket and I would touch that nail. It represented the cross for me, or Jesus Christ. And I would make a decision of my will. What am I going to do in this situation? Am I going to be pulled more and more into lust, Or am I going to turn my eyes and live out of a purity? Am I going to more and more respond out of anger? Anger used to be an issue in my life. Or am I going to more and more respond out of patience and gentleness and kindness? And every night that I would go home, and when I would go home, I would put it on my bedstand next to my bed. And in the morning, I would get up and I'd put the nail in there. And I did that for over a year. And the point I'm making is somehow God taught me during the season of my life, if you want to live it out and become more and more like Jesus Christ, one of the ways that you do it is you practice it in the everyday routine of your life. Do you want to become more like Jesus Christ? Connect with the divine nature. Learn to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Renew your mind by the Word of God. But don't stop there. Now you have to practice it and actually have to live it out. Let me give you my last idea and point in this, and that is the idea of practice. If I could say one thing to much of the evangelical church as I kind of travel around today in this whole area of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, I would say that we are missing the boat because we are not encouraging people, including myself, the idea and the power and the priority of practice. Paul says this over and over. Again, Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, you've heard all these things about who you are in Christ now and the grace, but he says, now present your bodies as living sacrifices. That's the idea of practice. Now do something with what you've heard, with the theology that you now have, with a new life that you now have. He does the same thing in Romans chapter 6. Many of you know Romans chapter 6, but it's about being dead to the old man, raised to new life with Christ. But then he goes on right after that in verse 11, 12, and 13. He says, because of your new position, he says this, no longer use your body as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't practice evil ways now because of your new nature. He says, use your body as instruments of righteousness. So practice and do the right things. Paul said it very, very explicit in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I think it is. He says this, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. I think I said it last week. Many people, we try in the moment, but we're not training up to the moment. And there's a big difference between the two. Do you have any idea how Michael Phelps won as many medals and gold medals that he did over his swimming career? Have any idea how he did that? He did that by practice. His story is from the age of 7 years of age, every day he was in the pool swimming laps after laps after laps, after laps, after laps. I said it last week. They say a plumber, to get certified in the state of Ohio, it takes them 4,000 hours of apprenticeship or practice before they can get their license. Now, let me just ask you the question, serious question. Why do we think we can live the faith out, we can become more and more like Jesus Christ, if we aren't willing to practice? Malcolm Gladwell, a man who wrote several books that many of you maybe know. Tipping Point is his biggest one. But a couple of years ago, he wrote another book called Outliers. And here's what he said. He said as he studied all successful people, he found that to master any skill, it took about 10,000 hours of practice. How do you become a great ballerina? Practice. How do you become a great skateboarder? Practice. How do you become a great basketball player? Practice. How do we become more and more like Jesus Christ? New nature, Holy Spirit, mind renewed, application throughout the day, and practice. Now let me ask and answer the question, what do you practice? What do you practice? If you're going to get into this thing, the whole thing about learning to practice, one of the reasons we haven't encouraged practice, I think, in the evangelical church is because we don't want to get into legalism, which is very, very true. We're saved by grace. We do this journey by grace. Even the things that we do is influenced or enabled by grace. So we don't want simply people to try to do this by their own will. So there's a fine line between this understanding, and I do understand that. But we've missed the idea of we have to practice if we're going to become, if we're going to put on and put off and become more and more like Jesus Christ. So what do we practice? Let me give you two things. It's in your bulletin, your outline. You can put these down. But number one, we want to practice things that will feed our new nature. So on the one side, we want to practice things that will feed our new nature, and things like this: prayer, the Word, worship, memorization, meditation, and there's other things you could practice, solitude and silence, but you want to practice the things that will develop the new nature in Christ, that will build up our new man, that will take the little seed as a little baby just born, as a little seed, and will grow that person into a full, mature man or woman. So we want to feed ourselves on those things, so you want to practice those things. But here's the other thing you want to practice, and it's on the other side of the equation, is you want to practice the things that you want to reshape in your life. So in the church, again, we often practice these things that feed our new man, but we oftentimes don't practice the things that can reshape us into the nature or into the new nature of Christ. So we want to practice the things that reshape us. And let me give you a little illustration before I kind of give you what some of those are. It's like a little sapling tree that you've planted, and it's leaning in one direction. And usually, of course, what happens if you want it to be up straight, so you'll take some type of a stake and push the stake down, and then you pull a rope to it so you can pull it this way. All of us in our old nature have ways that our old nature wants to lean. And usually it's the way that your old nature, what you practiced before you came to Jesus Christ. So you had certain practices in your old man that your old nature still wants to lean in that direction. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we're given a new man, a new nature, but our old nature still at times wants to pull us in that direction. So what you do when you begin to practice things that reshape us, you practice the things that will pull you back in the direction of the nature of Christ. Let me give you what some of those things are. Very, very practical. Gratitude, encouragement, patience, purity, kindness. So just ask yourself, what area in your life are you feel like you're leaning away from the nature of Christ? You're not really pleased with where you're at in that area. It could be bitterness, it could be being cynical, you know, it could be being ungrateful, it could be having a foul mouth. I mean, what it would be, you're just saying, that's my old nature, and I'm being pulled in that direction. What you need to do then is introduce the opposite and practice the opposite. So that when you want to be unkind, that's the time, stick your hand in your pocket with a nail in there and say, I'm going to practice being kind right now. When you want to be cynical, or you want to have harsh words to somebody, because that's the way that you grew up, you're able to say, I'm going to do the opposite. I want to practice encouragement and affirmation. That's how you help bend your nature back into the nature of Christ. Now, how do you decide what to practice? Let me give you two things. Very practical message. Hopefully this is helpful to you. How we live this thing out so we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. So as we go out into the world, we actually have what Paul said, the aroma of Christ. We are presenting the nature of Christ. Let me tell you two ways of how to decide what to practice. Number one, what do you need or want to grow in? What do you need or want to grow in? Again, if you're cynical or you're negative, you say, I don't want to be that way. That's not the nature of Christ. So you're then realizing, I want to grow in that area. So you're learning then to find things that are positive so you can affirm things. You can encourage somebody. You can look for the good instead of the worst in everything. So you simply, that's the area that you want to grow and you want to change in. One of the things for me in the last couple of years has been the area of kindness. I don't feel like I've been as kind as I want to be. So I feel like, God, I want to move back and I want to become more kind. I want to use my words that are kind. I want to look people in the eye and be kind to them. I want to say things to people that are encouraging and affirming. I want to be kind to my wife. I want to grow in the area of kindness in my life. So that would be the first one. And here's the second one. The second one is, what is the Holy Spirit leading you to grow in? If you go back to our very first message in this series, is we said it's impossible for us to live it out without learning how to hear the voice or the Holy Spirit in our own life so he can show us where to grow, where to go, where he wants to lead us, what he's doing. So we respond to the Holy Spirit and let him show us, because here's why. Where the Holy Spirit is speaking to you is where you will be enabled to do what he's asking you to do. That's pretty good. I'll say that again. Where the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, highlighting to you areas, that's where you will be enabled to do it, because he's the one speaking you to do it. You can't take what somebody else is trying to do or their idea and say, I think I'll try that. You want to know actually what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Let me give you one more concluding illustration. We'll end this. The great violinist, Yitzhak Perlman, was doing a charity concert. And at the end of the concert, he was in a receiving line, and he was at the very end of the receiving line, and people were coming by, and as they would come by to him, they would be telling him, you know, how great it was. And one lady who came by, and she kept talking to him, she said, "I can't believe how good you are on the violin." And he said, "Thank you, ma'am." And she said, I wish I could play the way you could play. I just can't believe." And he said, "Thank you, ma'am." She finally said, "I would give my life to be able to play the violin like you have." Yitzhak Perlman said, "I have." To become more and more like Jesus Christ, we need to learn how to practice by our new nature, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by renewed mind, in the everyday opportunities of our life, so that you and I can live it out and become more authentic in our faith, so that the faith that we have to share with others will be more and more like the nature of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I am so amazed of your wisdom. You don't ask us to do something and then not give us the tools of how to do it. Lord, I ask for this congregation, Church of the Open Door, whose mission is to grow in the nature of Christ, that you would help all of us, no matter where we're at, if we're a little seed, a little babe in Christ, we're an infant, we're an adult, wherever we're at in the journey, that we will take another step in our own life of becoming more and more like you. Lord, I ask that you would help every one of us to know what to practice in these next weeks, these next months, what to practice so we can feed our new nature, and what to practice so we can reshape or rebend our old nature more toward the nature of Christ. Father, I thank you for that. And I pray it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.